Hey, folks. Thanks for being members of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus materials from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is the audience Q&A from my live event with Commissioner Bill Bratton, and it's exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it.
That's a great segue to the first audience question from Rose, who says, a question from Philly, where the district attorney's policies are vilified by the police union. Rose asks, how can they come together with humility to listen to each other and come to a better ground? How can the police union come to an understanding that the status quo has not worked?
The issue in Philadelphia, I'm very familiar with. John Chimney, our great friend, was commissioner down there for a while. Chuck Ramsey, my very close friend, former commissioner there. So I know a lot about Philly. I was actually approached to take that job a number of years ago. What's happening in Philly is happening in many cities around the country where there's a progressive left district attorney trying to implement a great many changes. And oftentimes, police resistance to it, rank and file as well as senior leaders, feeling it's trying to accelerate too quickly the process of change, and officers feeling that it's putting their lives in danger as well as the people they're trying to protect. And unfortunately, the violence and murder rates in most of those cities is increasing dramatically as the issue is in the country. But there's a prime example of trying to see each other, to understand the motivation and trying to find common ground. At this moment, I'd like to think we're doing a better job of that, but we're not. I think those tensions are actually expanding rather than declining. So I understand the point that she's making. I wish I had more of a resolution, a solution for it. But at this particular point in time, they're in their respective corners and basically slugging it out long distance. They need to really get closer to each other so they could hopefully see each other's perspective.
This is a question from Michelle. What do you say to governors like Greg Abbott, who have now made it legal to carry guns in public without permits? The whole gun issue is at the core of policing and crime, it seems. And then a follow-up from Susan, what do you feel is the police role in school shootings, and can they in any way provide some help in prevention of these shootings? So guns.
In answer to the first question, I've been a strong advocate for many, many years of much more gun control. But unfortunately, that horse is out of the barn, and you're never going to put him back in the barn, not in our lifetimes. In October, the Supreme Court's going to make a decision in a case that will weaken a lot of the licensing capabilities in states like New York and California, the ability to license people to carry a firearm, that it's going to make it much more difficult to actually require licensing. So the issue of guns in this country is the source of so much of our problem. It's why during the coronavirus epidemic, most of the world did not experience increases in violence, but we did. And why? Because guns are so accessible. So much of our violence involves guns. In terms of going forward, that we're unfortunately going to be in the case of the summer, a long, tough summer around the issue of gun crime. We're already seeing that escalation of it.
What do you feel is the police role in school shootings?
That goes to the defund the police movement. Some of that movement, indeed, one of the mayoral candidates in the race here in New York is talking about getting police out of the schools. I think that's so short-sighted. You want police in schools, school safety officers, to try and build trust between these young kids and these officers so that they see them there as somebody to work with, somebody to deal with, instead of by taking them out of the schools. Why? Because there's such a bad influence on these young people. I think that's one of the real negative impacts of some of the defund the police movement, that people want to keep their young people away from cops. You want to basically try to bring them together. You want them to be able to see them. I remember as a young boy, summer playgrounds, officer friendly. And you want the police to be seen as their friend, not their enemy. But there are so many in the defund the police movement that hate the police so much that basically they want to educate their children to also hate them.
I'm going to interpose one quick question, moderator's prerogative. You mentioned the mayoral race. The primary is in New York in just a few days. Do you have a favorite?
I do, but I have stayed out of it. I've not been asked for an endorsement, have not given one. As recently as this morning, the New York Times was calling me to pester me about that. No, I've got strong feelings about this race, that because this is probably the most critical time in New York's history, even more so than Giuliani time, Dinkins time, Koch time, Lindsay time. Fred Siegel had a
wonderful... So you have a pick. You have a pick, but you're not going to tell us.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to quote...
No, Fred Siegel had a wonderful book, The Future Once Happened Here, and it was about the idea of looking at the Lindsay era, if you will. And so much of what happened in the 70s is once again happening now. The future, if we're not careful, if the next mayor is not careful, the future is going to look like the 1970s again in this city. So it's a tough choice for people to make in terms of among the candidates, but it's critical that this audience get out and vote and make your choice known.
Here's a question from Joe. Do you believe white supremacy has a significant presence in American policing, and what should be done about it?
It did for a long time. Let's face it, the Deep South, Jim Crow laws, that was all about white supremacy. Some of that going back to the pre-Civil War, when Northern police forces under the Dred Scott decision were required to catch and return runaway slaves. Are there white supremacists in the ranks of American policing? There are. There should not be. Fortunately, however, that era is really behind us. As an institution, it's still now more individuals rather than organizations.
Can you discuss what seems to be a short training period for police in America compared to the training in other countries? Mere months compared to a couple of years? And that's an anonymous question.
That's a point I make in the book. I was on the streets of Boston after 8 weeks in the uniform with a gun and a badge, the ability to take you into custody, take your life even. 8 weeks, think of that. Now, on average, American police officers are trained for 4 months to 6 months. In New York, it's 6 months. And in some departments like New York and Los Angeles, the officer is then assigned to a field training officer for a period of time when they first go on the streets. That is not enough time for the complexities of what used to be just crime and disorder. In the 21st century, we talked about this earlier, Preet, about all the things that police have to now deal with in terms of, just look at the average police officer, all the stuff they carry on their belt. I had a six-shot revolver, six spare rounds in a loop, a set of handcuffs and a ticket book and a whistle. And you look at these officers, we equip them with bulletproof vests, they have trauma kits, they have tasers, they have radios, they have phones, they have body cameras. It's amazing they can even walk around with all the gear that they have on them. So the complexities of mastering how to use all that stuff, let alone the stuff, for example, in the opioid overdoses, the equipment that they carry, the thousands of lives that are saved every year by police officers who administer that to people going through an opioid overdose. 4 months, 6 months, not enough. And in-service training, once they're on the job, that's even worse. So that's what I'm talking about. We need a refund, reinvest in our police. Otherwise, we're going to just keep... What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again. Well, we know what we'd like to not do over again, but we keep doing it. And why? Because we just won't break that cycle of insanity.
From Rebecca, it's a good question. Hate crimes have proliferated in New York City in recent months based on several protected classes, trans folks, Jewish folks, Asian folks. What is the impact of this type of crime on the public's feelings of safety and relationship to the police?
It's devastating. It is devastating that Boston created one of the first hate crime units in the mid-1970s to deal with the issues coming out of desegregation of the schools, but also to deal with significant issues involving gays in Boston. I was the first officer assigned as the liaison to the gay community back in the 70s. And look at our recent significant rise of hate crime in New York against Jewish residents, against particularly Asian Americans, and the fear that spreads. I can remember when President Trump was basically his harangues against Muslims, the Muslim travel ban, et cetera. I have a young woman that sits outside my office, smart as can be, and she came into the office in tears, and she said to me, you know, Commissioner, can I ask you a question? And I said, certainly. And she says, should I be afraid? And you could obviously see she was afraid. She was in tears. And it was a direct result of a national policy that was focusing anger at her population. And there was nothing about her. She's not somebody that wore a headband or anything that would distinguish her as a Muslim, but she had that fear. No, hate crimes are just about the worst because it eats at people. And it's almost like a hidden disease in the sense of the worry and the fear they have about it.
This is a good follow-on to that question. And I think this will be the last question. And I know what you think about this because I've seen what you've said about it, but for this group, what does Commissioner Bratton think of the NYC Pride Parade's decision to exclude police officers from marching for the next 5 years.
I was outraged by it, that the idea that we fight so hard to provide equal opportunity for everybody, and particularly the idea of the NYPD now has hundreds of gay officers, openly gay, transgender, and we welcome them. And the idea of excluding them, I'm outraged by it. My sister is gay. She's one of the first married couples in Massachusetts. I was the first liaison officer of the gay community in the 1970s, dealing with Barney Frank before he became a congressman. And so I've been very involved in these issues throughout my career. Matter of fact, received an award from the Stonewall Association, from the original people who were involved in that event back in the 70s. So it's outrageous, absolutely outrageous, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Before I let you go and we close it out, would you take the job of police commissioner again at this moment?
No, that I would not.
Okay.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.